Our scripture lesson today was a struggle. It truly was. There are so many that fit what I want to talk about. I didn't know what to do, so I just chose all of them. So the first hour of the sermon will be me reading scripture. Acts chapter 8, 26 through 40. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40 for the sermon coming up. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." And so he started out on his way, and he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And on his way home, was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. God add his blessings to that passage as we seek him in prayer. Would you please join with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you. We love you and we praise you. And we know that in all things you teach us. And so at this time, Father, we ask that you teach us from these scriptures, from this message given to me by you, not mine, that we may learn and strengthen and prepare ourselves in our day-to-day walk. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have done a number of baptisms. I've done them in creeks, swimming pools, down in our baptismal. And every single time since I took the word to become a pastor, I have a hard time after baptism's finished. Something always happens. Always. And so when I start to baptize someone, it catapults me back to two times. My first baptism, takes me back in time. So whenever I start one of these sermons, looking around a room full of seasoned Christians, notice I didn't say old, looking around a room full of old Christians, I always ask this question: do you remember your baptism? Put your hands in the air. Now keep them there. Now I want you two to take a good hard look around this room. Stand up, Toddy and April, and look around and see what you're looking at. All these people have done what you're about to do. Don't put your hand down yet, young lady. I'll tell you when. I'm the pastor. You follow along with me. All right, now, who remembers the minute they stepped out of the water? That very moment. Put your hands up, keep them up. All right, you can put them down. You two can sit down now. I want you to understand the company that you are about to join. I want you to think about what's about to happen to you that has been going on for 2,000 plus years. And how many people, just like all the brothers and sisters, and this is where the change now takes place. Not Mrs. or Mr. So-and-so or whomever. This is your family becoming. I'm no longer your pastor at that point. You can call me whatever you want. A lot of people have different names for me. And as the old joke goes, just don't call me late for supper. Today, I become your brother. You become my sister, my brother, their sister, their brother. You dare not forget that. I was 14 years old. Four of us boys, I can remember their names. I can tell you the whole story. Willie Plank, Jimmy Plank, and Jimmy Worley. All four of us used to sit on the very back bench and color. We had our own coloring books, and we'd read and snicker and poke one another and act like general idiots. Because that's what four boys on a back bench do. Take it for what it was. And my dad was up there thundering along like he had been. And at 14 years old, I was 14, Willie was 14, Jimmy was 16, and the other Jimmy was 17. We all sat back there for a moment, and we all made a decision. Is it time to go up? I don't know. I'm not going up if you don't go up. I'll go up if you will. Paul, don't you go up without us. Well, I ain't going if you don't go. And don't you guys go up and look, make me look bad. And all of them said the same thing. Paul, if we start walking and you sit on the bench laughing and let us go by ourselves, we'll beat you up after church. That's three against one. I don't think I can handle them odds. I said, well, let's go. And without warning, we stood up, walked up front, and it was on. And we all went to Pipe Creek after church one Sunday because Sam's Creek didn't have baptismal. And it was not anywhere around that we could all get in the water. And we went in the water and we came out. We came out and everybody loved and hugged and carried on. Now, I remember for a moment this glint, this brief feeling that came to me. And here's where it changes. I wasn't saved. I knew Jesus Christ. I knew who He was. I understood Him. But I hadn't accepted Him. Life kicks on. As we well know, by the time I was in my, teens, late teens, other avenues had garnered my interest. Bad ones. And took me away from the love of the Lord. He didn't leave, I did. Then I got married. And my wife said, we're going to get baptized. Because I have never been. And I said, no, we ain't. I'll be happy to stand there and hold a towel. I've already done that work. We are not going. And so as I knelt down in the creek with my wife, wondering, how in the world did this happen? Number two. Something began to rattle around in this cavern above my ears. I started to hear Jesus' voice. It would take a little while yet before the major change would come. But it happened. I want to ask each and every one of you that have been, when you stepped out of the water that day, was there an automatic change? Did you expect to come out of the water and hear the sky split open and the chorus of heaven go, is that what you expected? Well, if you did, you're lying. In church, do your pastor on a Sunday. How shameful. Where's my pen? Write a sermon about lying. No. You came out and your brain was on fire. You were swirling around. You're trying to figure out what's going on. Was there an instantaneous change? No. It didn't happen like that. It doesn't happen like that. My dad, when he was preaching over to Johnstown Church of the Brethren, over there outside of Hedgesville, one November in the 70s, Edna Beiser wanted to get baptized. She had to have it. She was terrified of water. She was not happy about it, but the conviction was on. And we went over to the Cherry Run that day in November. And men took axes down into the Cherry Run and broke the ice off of the baptizing pool in November on the Cherry Run. I can drive you to that spot today. And in the water they went. And I stood out there on the edge going, there is no way on this green earth you'll ever catch me doing that. And now, if you said today, if it was snowing and raining and ice, Paul, I got to get in that water. Let's go. Because they came up out of that water and never got sick. Not shivering. And it's talked about to this day. So let me knock down a few myths. All right? Let me take over a few things that I want you to be crystal clear on, and the rest of you, my family, as well. Number one, baptism does not save you. Do you understand that? Does not save you. Well, Paul, you got to be baptized. Do you? Yes, we'd like everybody to be baptized. Let me read you a scripture. Two other men, both of them criminals, were also led to be executed. And when they came to a place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And the people stood there watching, and even the rulers sneered at him. And they said, he saved others, let him save himself. Is he the Christ of God, the chosen one? The soldiers also came up and mocked him, and they offered him wine and vinegar, and said, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. And there was a written notice above him which read, this is the king of the Jews. Now listen. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said. Since you are under the same authority, we are being punished justly. For we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done no wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise. Number one, I have read the Bible many, 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 many times. I am not a scholar. I am not that smart. But I know what words mean and I know how to read it. And I have read this, God bless you, Melody, many, many, many times. And in that book, I have never seen where they said, hold it, bring him down, let's go get him baptized. No. His belief in Jesus Christ took him to heaven that day. Well, why are we doing this? Number two, baptism on babies is not possible. Now, I know that there are people out there that say, well, we went to the baby baptism and so forth and so on. I have twin sons. I have two of them. God thought he was funny. He has a sense of humor. At least he wasn't funny enough to make them both girls. Oh, man, I couldn't handle that. And in the first 5 months of their lives, the only thing they knew how to do was keep us up through the night and eat in dirty diapers. If I asked them a question, hey, do you know how the backflow preventers on a John Deere stabilizing system for the outriggers work on a backhoe, a 310C backhoe? They looked at me and went, they don't understand. Mark chapter 1. This verse, Verse 5. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. Babies cannot confess their sins. Consequently, they can't sin. Well, some of the things they do when they're new to parents are a sin. So if you say, well, the baby was baptized and he's sealed into heaven, number one and number two are broken. And that's wrong. Number three, Jesus did it with understanding. Matthew chapter 3. You thought I was kidding about all them verses, didn't you? In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord and make straight paths for him. John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. And people went out to him from Jerusalem and all of Judea again and the whole region of Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the tree, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with the unquenchable fire. Then Jesus came from Galilee to be baptized. 30 years old. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? And Jesus replied, let it be so now, for it is proper to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love. I am well pleased. Understanding. You have to understand, you never want to make this proclamation that I'm going to be baptized without completely understanding it. Because you're not going to get it. You're not going to come to the full realization of it. Years from now, you will think back on this day. Not in the first few moments. The first few moments you'll be like, got through it. I'm not so nervous anymore. I'm approaching that water and all these people are looking at me. And then you're going to start to dwell on it. And I'm going to remind you of what it means. It means you have washed away the old you. It's an outward sign of an inward change. And I got news for you. The minute you get baptized, do you know what happens about you sinning? Do you know what happens? You keep on doing it. You don't stop sinning. Why? You haven't had the third part yet, the righteousness. That comes at another time. I don't have any power to do that. That's when Jesus Christ comes back to get us. Then we will be made righteous, whole, complete, and without blame. Well, why don't we get to be sinless? Because if we did, and we came out of that water, we would forget who Jesus Christ is. And we would try to take over things for ourselves. How often, when you try to do something yourself that you're not prepared for, does that work out? For me, I'm batting zero. It never does. I have a wife to remind me. I have other things. Jesus understood it. He did not go into that water until it was time. Go back to the scripture we read in Acts 8. I want you to pay attention to that. We all know the story. And if you don't, today you will. How Philip was out taking the gospel and walking it about, so to speak. And he was talking to people and he was doing things. And Philip was a man of God. And he understood. And Philip had seen Jesus Christ. And he had known this is what's coming. And he understood it. And it was given unto him to bring that gospel forward. Now, an angel of the Lord appeared and said to Philip, go over there. Wait by that chariot. Now let's think about the eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch. This man was in charge of the money. Now we talked about last Sunday being fancy. I see I wore a tie today, and John wore a tie. John, I don't think I've seen you wear a tie to church in forever. Well, thank you, and so do you, sir. And I'm looking around, and Ron's got a tie on. That's a double Windsor, because I asked him this morning. But I don't see my other brothers wearing ties, and I chose to wear one today. And he would have been dressed in the finest. He would have had everything. The Bible says he had a chariot. And not the chariot you think of with Ben-Hur, where you stood up and got chased around the Colosseum. He had a chariot. Maybe a gilded one like the one that Cinderella rode in. Not made from a pumpkin, of course. I confess, I love the story Cinderella. I've never given that one up. He had a chariot. He had drivers. He was in charge of the money. He was the guy for the queen. And we know that he was educated because the scripture makes note of it when it says he was reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. Now, 2,000 years ago, was there a Walmart? I didn't see one in here. Was there a place you could just go down there and pick up a new Bible because you just needed a new Bible? Or maybe you wanted, I want a new Bible with a color that won't clash with my church clothes. I don't know. No, there wasn't. There was no books. Everything was laid out in scrolls. And if you had access to that, you had education, you had riches, you had money, you had everything. And Philip was dirty and nasty and had no money. Maybe the cloak around him and a sack with some items in it. And he lived by what people gave him. So here's the lowest dirt poor and the highest at that moment, the Ethiopian eunuch, and they come together. And the eunuch is so wound up, he says, come up here and sit down with me. Into the chariot. Bring your dirty self into my chariot. And they sat. And they started to ride along. And the Ethiopian eunuch turns to him and says, how can I, unless someone explains it to me? Philip is about to explain Jesus Christ and baptism. We don't come to it uneducated. We don't come to it because everybody else is doing it. You don't come to it because the pastor has walked up to you and said, by the time you get baptized, ain't it? You do it because you've heard it talked about. You've accepted Jesus Christ. You too have accepted Jesus Christ, right? Say amen. Say amen.
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 Now then, you accepted Jesus Christ, so you understand what you've taken on. And now you know what baptism is roughly about. And the eunuch came to it, learning. Scripture records that suddenly there was water. And he said, let's go get in that water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And Philip said, you're right. And the chariot was stopped, and in they went. Full knowledge, understanding, that's not the salvation. That's the release of the old body, changing inside so people can see it outside. The best part of that scripture is what happened next. They're standing there, they're wet, and the Lord takes Philip away. Gone. And the eunuch doesn't even notice it. He's so full of spirit, he's just rejoicing. And Philip went on his own way. We must never, ever, ever go into what we are going to do without full understanding. A story I have read is the story of Cashel Rock. Cashel Rock is a castle in Ireland. And you wouldn't know about it unless you're educated like I am, because I know these things. In 450 AD, Cashel Rock was the home in the area of Munster to King Angus. And King Angus was a good king. And King Angus had grown up praising idols, Celtic faith. And King Angus had suddenly heard of Christianity and became interested in it, because he was an educated man and wanted to learn. And through his education and those around him, King Angus converted to Christianity and deemed idol worship and paganism wrong. And King Angus had heard of St. Patrick, his miracles of healing, and how he had broken the idol at Crom Cruach, breaking it to pieces with his crozier. And he wanted to hear about Jesus and God straight from this great man. And so the king summoned him. And he came to see the king, and he sat down and he taught the king straight forward. And the king was so pondered by the story and the need for baptism that King Angus finally agreed. Now, let's think about that. We're going to go downstairs in a little while, and I'm going to baptize you all. And there's not going to be a whole lot of pomp and circumstance to it. But a king, it's recorded here, thus did we stand, from the own words of St. Patrick's helper. Thus did we stand in the courtyard of the king's wrath under cloudy skies, surrounded with a colorful retinue. For miles around came the retinue, the kings of the clans and their sons, subordinates. Everybody wore their best striped leggings of finest wool, bright plaid tunics, artfully crafted brooches made out of brass, and more silver and gold torques hanging from necks than I had ever seen before the ceremony. The king himself gave a short speech, enjoining a company to follow him. As I glanced over the assembled, I saw many eager nodding heads. Of course, I had no idea of the disaster that was about to come. Then came the event itself. The king had been insistent on being baptized inside his wrath at Cashel Rock, not in a forest stream where we usually did such things. Let history know, he said, that this was the place where I sought my Savior. To accommodate his wishes, we'd ordered a hole dug in the square. Its sides and bottoms were lined with flat rocks filled with water, a baptismal fit for a king. Dressed in loose flowing tunics, Patrick and the king stood before the font. Patrick bore his favorite crozier and gripped its crooked handle, embedded with jades and emeralds, and pointed its spike dug into the earth beside him. It was a big stick with a fancy gold hook on it and had a point, a real spiky end to it, so they could jab it in the ground when they were standing to steady themselves while they preached. Do you believe in God the Father Almighty? Came Patrick's voice of authority. I believe, said the king. Christ Jesus was born of Mary. He was murdered by Pontius Pilate, the ruler of distant Palestine. He died and was buried. On the third day, rose again alive from the dead. Then he ascended into heaven, where he now sits at the right hand of the Father. Do you believe this, Angus? King of Cashel, ruler of Munster, I believe. And do you believe in the Son of God? I believe, he responded. And so it went, and all was proceeding well till disaster struck. Patrick reached the end, and as he prayed, he closed his eyes. And then he did something even today as I write these words I shake my head at with disbelief and horror, while at the same time I struggle to suppress my laughter. What did he do? In the middle of his prayer, he lifted his crozier high in the air as his voice boomed and slammed it down onto the ground, the spiky end pointing into the ground. Except at that point, separating the ground and the spike was the foot of King Angus. There was a stifled cry of pain, but Patrick kept on praying. I heard the crunch and opened my eyes and looked with dropping jaw at the king's foot as blood started to come from it. But Angus never made a sound. Patrick finished his prayer, passed the crozier to me, and stepped into the water up to his chest. Only then did he notice what he had done. What did Patrick do? For a few moments he stared at the damage, then as if nothing. He lifted his eyes to Angus and beckoned him to enter the water. The king doffed his tunic naked. Angus limped into the water where Patrick baptized him. After the baptism was over, St. Peter looked down at the blood and realized and begged the king's forgiveness. He said, "Why did you suffer this pain in silence?" The king replied, "I thought it was part of the ritual to suffer like my Christ did." It got me to thinking, perhaps we treat baptism a little too lightly. And so on this Sunday, I endeavor to change that with you too. Frank, do you recognize this? You gave it to me. My crozier! We have to remind ourselves that baptism is not just a dunk in the water. We have to remind ourselves that baptism is suffering and the end of it. We have to remind ourselves that baptism is not just about coming up. It's about leaving behind. It's about the suffering and pain that we carry with us for no good reason, and why we go in the water to start with. It is a reminder, if you will allow, that the suffering was put to an end, what the world can dish out. Coming up does not mean that you're going to automatically be perfect. Coming up means that the suffering is now under the control of Jesus Christ. The suffering that you will see come to you through life, and you will, belongs to Him because He suffered for us. Coming up out of that water is an outward sign and an inward change. This is the Church of the Brethren Book of Worship. I rarely use this one anymore. It was published in 1964, and it was my grandfather's. And contained within this book is how to do things the Brethren Church way. There's notes all through it. It was given to me when my grandfather retired and I entered the ministry. His notes are through it, even how to set up for a wedding. It's getting in bad shape. I'd love to have the thing rebound correctly, and maybe one day I will. I use this for very special occasions. Today is a very special occasion.
Pastor Hall, we would like to present three candidates for baptism today, and I will call them Eric Perkins, April Perkins, and Todd Stops. Please come up.
All the way this time. Line up. Face that way. It is a joy to welcome you. Baptism is the most beautiful and sacred symbols of the Christian church. Before you take your baptismal vows, I'd like to remind you of the meaning and significance of the step you are about to take. First of all, you will recall that Jesus himself was baptized at 30 years old. And you will recall that he deemed baptism right and proper to be done. In the Brotherhood Church, in 1708, eight men and women, deciding that the New Testament was the true and honorable way to honor God against the wishes of the German state government, went into the Eder River in Schwarzenau, Germany, and signed death warrants by baptizing them one and another. The leader of that group and the founder of the Church of the Brotherhood was Alexander Mack, Sr. Somebody had to baptize him. History does not record it, for they never wanted it to be said that this person had a greater honor. In that way, I think of the honor that I have in being lesser than you to baptize you today. It is me being able to serve you. Let us think concerning the breadth and depth of the fellowship of the church into which you now will come by baptism. You are this day being received into the Church of the Brethren. This family of the whole church offers you its rich heritage. You this day will be baptized into this family and into the Christian faith forevermore. Now, having reminded you of the meaning and significance of baptism, I will now ask you to respond to your baptismal vows. You can answer by saying, "We will." Do you truly repent of your sins and confess and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
We will.
We will.
You got a couple more chances to get a little bit better. Do you purpose to live in keeping with the teachings and spirit of the New Testament?
We will.
We will.
Do you purpose to be a faithful member of the body of Christ?
We will.
We will.
Do you desire to seal those very vows in Christian baptism?
We will.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, and do you receive and trust him as your Savior?
We will.
We do.
We do.
We do.
Do you turn away from all sin, and will you endeavor by God's grace to live according to the example and the teachings of Jesus?
We will.
Will you be loyal to the church, upholding her by your prayers and your presence, your substance, and your service?
We will.
Having heard these sacred vows, these persons have made before God and this congregation, this family, do you now receive them as members of the church? If so, answer, we do.
We do.
Will you surround them with Christian love and fellowship, sharing with them the yoke of Christ and encouraging them by your example? If so, answer, we will.
We will.
Let us pray. God Almighty, whose will it is that not one of thy children should perish, but that all shall be heirs of eternal life, send now thy Holy Spirit upon this congregation and upon these persons who, having made their solemn vows, are now to be baptized according to thy holy word, and grant that these thy children shall receive the fullness of your grace and measure. In Jesus' name, amen. In a few short moments, we're going to go to the water. And I'm going to give you the open invitation. Sure, we'll sing the last hymn. And sure, I'll give the altar call. Anyone who needs to know Jesus Christ needs to leave their prayers behind. The bench is open and I'll be here. But water will be fine today, and you're welcome to come on in. I have plenty of time and a change of clothes. And there will still be food after we're done. If on this day you desire baptism, I stand ready. And if it's not time yet, watch this and talk to me. There's no problem with doing another one whatsoever. To my two young brothers and sisters that are just coming in, I pray that as we move toward this time, within your heart, you understand and know Jesus Christ and what coming up out of that water will mean. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we submit to you our time together. We will now allow the Holy Spirit to begin its triumphant work. I know that heaven up there is getting ready, babe. I know that we are about to hear from heaven on high. We'll feel it in our hearts and our very well-being. It'll be communicated by the Holy Spirit to each and every one of us because the hosts of heaven are just going to light it up across the sky as we look toward these individuals, these brothers, these sisters that are going to go in and just leave it behind, Father. I pray that you strengthen them for coming up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.